Oh Lord, we pray that your spirit would rise up within us and would speak mightily to us, God. We might need to be corrected today. We might need to be encouraged today. We might need to be healed today, spiritually, emotionally, physically today. God, teach us. Be the counselor, the wise counselor for us, God. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thanks for joining us today. And we have been talking about in this Follow Me series about what it means to really be a follower of Jesus and not just a fan. So that means that we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow Him. So we follow Him, and that's His invitation to us to follow me. We talked about His invitation to join me, be a part of the family. That was last week. And today we're looking at His invitation to really be a part of the body, to the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at spiritual gifts today and what that means and what it means to really be an active, functioning part of the body. I say that to say this. This is Me Church version 2. This is not what we want to do, all right? Watch this.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I don't know who sets the worship center temperature, but why does it have to be so cold?
Why do you have to be so right? Heated chairs are now being installed.
This one wants a small church, but I'm afraid if it's too small, they're going to make me volunteer like crazy. And I don't stack chairs, do I?
Makes total sense. Join now and we'll let you decide the size of our church.
We're millennials, and we want a church that...
Say no more. Any requests you have will be granted immediately.
Parking is horrible. It takes me almost 6 minutes to get from my car to the building. Ugh.
It's going to take me 6 seconds to tell you a valet service is on the way.
My pastor's preaching, it's all over the map. I say, oh, I don't know, stick with the books of the Bible. We should be only exegetical.
Okay. Next week, we start John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll even start pronouncing that word the way you said it.
Hey, I'd like this sermon to be no longer than 30 minutes.
How does 15 minutes sound?
Hey, anybody willing to go 15 should be willing to go to 10.
You drive a hard bargain. But from now on, 5-minute sermons it is.
Now you're talking.
Me Church, where it's all about you.
Can I hear an amen? You don't even know what you're amening to. Yeah, that's funny, but the sad thing is there's a little bit about that in us, if you have to admit it, right? There's even a little bit about that in me, I suppose. And so in this series of Follow Me, we're trying to get away from that and see that God has a bigger purpose for His church than comfort and consumerism. So this morning, thank you for joining us. And really the big idea today is this, that Jesus invites disciples. He invites you, He invites me to be part of His body, receiving and then using, exercising spiritual gifts in sacrificial service. If you have your copy of Scripture, grab it, open it up, turn it on, whatever. And we do, as you know, have Bibles in the back. If you don't have one, grab one. If you don't have one at home, keep it. And let's look at Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's been preserved for us for a couple thousand years in the Holy Scriptures. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. First thing we can see in this passage that's relevant for us today is that our church is a connected body. We put that out. I asked you last week, what is on that banner out in the yard over there? connecting people with God and each other. Thank you for memorizing that, by the way. Great job. I love it. Connecting people with God and each other. Our church is a connected body. Look at verse 4. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So we have a body, right? And it is comprised of all kinds of members. We have the muscular system. We have the liver, bone marrow, stomach, veins. We know this, right? Parts of the body. And it has to function as a body for our body to live and work. In 1 Corinthians 12, not our text today, Romans 12, but in 1 Corinthians 12, we know the Apostle Paul teaches on spiritual gifts, and he reminds that church, that dysfunctional church in Corinth, that the body is made up of many members, and they don't have the same function. They can't. And he says, if the whole body were an eye, for example, where would the hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the vision, the seeing be? And he mentions that God has arranged the parts of the body just as he wants them. And I take that by faith. I believe that we have all of the necessary spiritual gifts in our church family here to operate well, to be a healthy church, to be a church on mission, a church that is impacting community and then globally around the world. We've got it according to Scripture. He has arranged them as he wants them to be. We're a body with many members, verse 4. Verse 5, we belong to each other. So in Christ, verse 5, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the other members. So we take our kidneys out, our body stops working. Remove the legs, the body stops walking. You take the eyes out, the body stops seeing, right? The body cannot function without the parts working together. And so it is with the church. If you are gifted in a certain way necessary for LifeSpring Church, for our church family, and you're not exercising your spiritual gift that God gave you for this body, for this time, for this place, we're going to hurt. We're going to suffer because we're not seeing your gift being put in place. So we need that. I know in my family, for example, there's thyroid disease on the female side. And if you know somebody with thyroid disease, it's like if they have hypothyroidism anyway, it's like it's a slow thing that happens. And it's like, I'm not feeling myself. I'm tired more. I just don't have the energy. What's going wrong? Am I sick? I don't, you know. And then they finally get tested and their thyroid is not working, not giving them the energy, right? And it's a problem with the body. And so that's the way it is with our church, that if you're not using the gift that God has given you for the good of the body, and that is the purpose, then it's like the body is sick. It can't function. But also, isn't it true in a body, if I have an ankle sprain, I treat my ankle. I give special attention to my ankle, correct? And so there might be members. There are always, every week in our body, members who have some spiritual gifts, and they're suffering. They're sick. They're hurting. And what do? We don't alienate them. We come to their rescue. We pray for them. We help them. We encourage them. We love on them because we want them to get back functioning. And all of us are going to be hurting at one time or another. And it's just like spiritual gifts. Well, verse 3 in our text reminds me also that it's all about humility. It's where humility reigns. Do not think of yourself more highly, Paul says, than you ought. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Give yourself a reality check. And it's all about humility. God has gifted you not so that you're a big deal, not so that I'm a big shot. He has gifted us to give ourselves to the body. It's all about the body. It's not about us. When I was a kid, I used to love limericks in school, right? So here's one. There once were two cats of Kilkenny. Each thought there was one cat too many. So they fought and they spit, they clawed and they bit, till instead of two cats, there weren't any. Have you ever seen that happen in a church? where there's division, discord, a lack of humility. Everybody's wanting, it's me church, and it destroys the church. So we only function well when humility reigns. Well, the Apostle Paul didn't write a limerick, but he did write this: make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. So our church is a connected body. It's a connected body. How do we do that? Well, thank you for connecting today. Thank you for connecting online. We connect through the worship of Holy God. We believe it's important for believers to come together corporately and do something that we can't do at home ourselves. We can't do it in our private quiet time, our devotional time every morning. That is gathering together where worship is more powerful. So thank you. You have connected with the church family. We do it through life groups, right? House to house, large group for worship, house to house, life groups we connect, life classes we connect, children's ministry, student ministry, adult ministries, service projects that we do together, we connect, church events, our prayer email network that goes out every Monday. That's a way of connecting and being the body of Christ. And those with this gift of intercession and prayer, those prayer warriors, they take it and they run with it. That's all part of it. Social media. Now, I get it. There's a lot of bad stuff with social media, but some of the good is we are connecting with each other, and I'm being encouraged. So we connect people with God and each other, but we also connect with other churches. Mark, I didn't know you were going to be here today. Mark Elliott, our associational missionary strategist, our director of missions and member of our church, and so one of the ways we connect with other churches, we don't just connect them ourselves, but we connect with other churches through the Heartland Church Network, a network of churches in this part of Nebraska, and we're doing missions together, we're planting churches together, we're growing together, we're becoming more healthy together, we're reaching people together. So we connect through the Heartland Church Network. We connect with other churches just privately and even within reach. We connect with churches around the world. We plant churches and make a difference. We connect. And so I want you to know that one of the joys of my life is connecting with a bunch of churches around the world. And so I want you to know the school that you are building, the primary school in South Sudan, in Juba, it's going pretty well. I get pictures every week, and we can't every week put them up here to show you, but we'll get them. The walls are going up. Thank you for connecting with that River Baptist Church in Juba, South Sudan. We are connecting with churches in Africa that we help start. We're connecting with the Anglican Church in London that we have partnered with. We are connecting with churches around the world. It's important to us. Our church is a connected body. Well, also we see in this passage, if you look at verse 6, our church is a gifted body. Romans 12, 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Stop right there. Scripture teaches about spiritual gifts, where you can find them. You find them in the 12s and the 4s. You find them in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. You find them in Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. That's where you find the spiritual gifts. What are they? Well, two Greek words. One is charisma, and it really means grace. It's a gift of grace. Somebody might be named Carissa or Charis, right? It means grace. That's one word. Another one is manifestation, and there's a Greek word for that, and that's an exhibition of a spiritual gift, an expression of a spiritual gift. So there's a couple spiritual Greek words for spiritual gifts. And note, in those four passages I just mentioned, the 12s and the 4s, there's like 19, but they're not all listed in the same passage. It tells me that there's probably more spiritual gifts than that. There's probably two or three more from the Old Testament about craftsmanship or artistry. And so it's not a definitive list of these spiritual gifts, but these are tangible, evident workings of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And here's the deal. When you are born again, when you're convicted, woe is me, I have a dead spot in my heart towards God. I feel like I do not have the forgiveness of sin that I want. I can't make it to heaven. I can't be perfect on my own. And you come under conviction, I need a Savior. When you receive Jesus, you are born again. Anybody need to be born again today, online, streaming, or here? And this is why we're here, church, for people to respond and say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. This could be your day today. When people are born again, then the Holy Spirit comes in, and what does he bring with him? Spiritual gifts. He gives you one or more gifts to be opened, to be used. And it's your job, not his, to open the gift and to use it. That's your job. So we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And it's different than just being talented. I loved watching the Olympics this last month. And I recorded them all and watched them late at night. And I just loved it. And I saw such talent, athletic talent. Wasn't just God-given, they trained and they trained and they trained. It was beautiful to see those talents. Those aren't spiritual gifts. I saw an episode of Jeopardy the other day, and I don't normally watch that, but I'm watching these brainiacs, right, that were talented in intelligence and in all their lives of reading and studying and preparing, right? And they had such great talent in that. But those aren't spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are God-given. They're not just talents. And some Bible students put these gifts in three categories. The speaking gifts, like teaching and prophecy. Sign gifts, like healing and tongues and miracles. Serving gifts, like helps and administration. And if you wonder about the gifts like a prophecy, why don't we have one of you stand up right now and give a prophetic utterance? Why don't we do that? In our services every Sunday, why don't we invite people to come up and just spur the moment, they just prophesy? Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons is order, 1 Corinthians 14. Another one, though, and this is a big one, is that in the early days of Christianity, the apostles were teaching the people, they were prophesying, they were teaching people, they didn't have the finished canon of Scripture. Even the Old Testament, let alone the New Testament. And so the Holy Spirit was using those apostles to prophesy and teach. And that's how the people learned. They didn't have their copy of Scripture. Well, once the canon of Scripture was set, think about it. We've got the prophecies of Moses here, and Elijah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and all those minor prophets. We've got the words of Jesus himself and the apostles. And so, no offense, we don't need you to stand up and tell us what is written here. It's clearer here. No offense to me. I'm not supposed to be freewheeling up here, right? Can I hear an amen? I'm supposed to be teaching you the whole counsel of God. And that's why, if you're wondering if maybe you come from a charismatic church, yes, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit fully, but that's why you don't see us, because of the Holy Scriptures that were written down for our good. So we believe that. But the fact of the matter is, these gifts are given for the common good. And the funny thing about spiritual gift is it's not given for you, it's given for us. So you guys who are married, I mean, what do you give your wives on Valentine's Day? You have two choices. You can give them a personal gift, maybe an intimate gift, or something that was, you know, some jewelry or chocolate or flowers or something that means something to your spouse, and it's a Valentine's Day is supposed to be personal, right? You don't give your wife a vacuum cleaner on Valentine's Day. Although one Valentine's Day, it must be 5 or 6 years ago, Valentine's season, I gave my wife a new kitchen sink with a new faucet on it, of course. And a new garbage disposer. How much better can you get than that? And it was a labor of love. It took me a long time to put it in. Okay, so God gives us spiritual gifts, and he also speaks to us. So, you know, there's things that God speaks to you in your daily time with him, yes? And they're not for me to know. They're not for your friends. They are private things that God speaks. Do you think I share with you everything that God speaks to me? Those are my intimate moments with the Lord. I'm not going to share them with everybody. They're personal. Right? But God has given you gifts, and they're not meant to be personal. They're meant to be used and shared with the church. Shared with the church. So that new kitchen sink, it was meant to be shared with the whole family. And that new faucet, right? You have a gift meant to be shared. It's for the common good. It's not for the convenience of anybody. It's for the common good. It's not for individual enjoyment, but corporate employment. That's why you've been gifted. So in one of the churches in the New Testament, Corinth, it was all messed up because they were bragging about their gifts that they have, their gifts of prophecy or teaching or speaking in tongues. They were bragging about it, and they got it all wrong. It wasn't for their benefit. It was for the good of the church. It was supposed to be all about unity, because when I'm using my gifts and you're using yours, it's a sweet thing to God. We're in unity. The body is complete when that happens. And I know for some of you, that's exactly your heart. You don't care. Well, you care, but you're not going to make a big deal if we don't sing your favorite hymns or songs on Sunday, because you know there's a bigger purpose out there. And you might be cold one day and hot another day, but it's okay, because you just love seeing people come together to worship God. And the sermon series, it might be your cup of tea, it might not be, but it's okay, because the Word of God is going out and people's lives are being changed. Right? You get it. It's about unity. So, you've been given one or more spiritual gifts, and let me encourage you, practically speaking, if you haven't taken a spiritual gift inventory or test lately, go to lifespringchurch.com, next steps, drop down to service, spiritual gifts inventory, right? Next step, serve, and then you can take this spiritual gift inventory, you can print it out, fill it out, and that will give you a starting point. Of course, the best way to know what your gift is just to practice. Start doing some things in the church and see what God affirms and what thing really doesn't fulfill you in Christ. Well, there's one other truth here from this passage, and that is that our church is not only a gifted body, but our church is a serving body. Romans 12, it continues. Let's finish this out. Verses 7 and 8. If it's serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So you can see it's not just our gifts, and if we use them or not, it's how we use them. Have you ever served in a way that, well, you did it, you served, but you weren't happy about it, and it showed? I've done that. Service is one of my spiritual gifts. People can tell. So how should we serve? Well, verse 8, generously, diligently, cheerfully, all the different ways, right? Because we're grateful. And notice also, there's the gift of giving listed in this passage. I just read it. That's a great example. So there's a difference between the gift of giving and the act of giving. Some people, some of you are gifted with the beautiful spiritual gift of giving. And I would say, we depend upon you. We need you. Give generously. Fulfill your spiritual gift. I found that many times people with the spiritual gift of giving also are given a gift of making some money. Just plain and simple. But there's others who have low income. They're also gifted with the spiritual gift of giving. And they give a higher proportion than many people do. If you have that gift, use it for the good of the church and the kingdom of God. But there's also a command to give that has nothing to do with the spiritual gift. So here's what I'm saying. Every week when it comes to our chance just to announce and thank you for being a generous church. You know, we do it almost every week, and we thank you for being a generous church, because this week we helped provide money for a family where both of them were out of work because of illness and surgeries, or we did these water cisterns in Honduras. Thank you for that. Or the school in Sudan, or whatever. And every week it's a practical need that you are meeting because you're generous, and we try to motivate you and celebrate and thank you, right? That's good. That's not the biblical reason to give. Did you know that? Need-based giving isn't the highest level of giving. It's obedience-based giving. I don't give to this church, and I do. I don't give to this church because of all the needs here and around the world. And I see them all. I see a bunch of them. That ain't why I give. I give because my Lord and Savior has saved my soul, and I'm grateful. I give because I see that my bit is part of the greater amount that is going to be used here and around the world. I give out of obedience as worship, not just the practical things that's going to do. That's why I give. And so the best form of giving, the biblical one, is planned giving, proportional giving, disciplined giving. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections have to be made. So he's talking about don't give based on, oh, a need here, there, and there, but be disciplined in your giving. And if you're going to be able to maximize your finances, right, in the area of giving, you're going to have to be disciplined. Most of us are not multimillionaires. We've got to plan it out. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to budget for it. That's what Paul was talking about. It's not just, oh, okay, that's a pretty good need. I think I'll give. I'm going to text an offering today. That isn't it. And you might say, well, I'm not gifted in giving. And I would say that might be the attitude that we find in the book of Malachi. I'm not going to read the whole passage. You've heard this before. I'm not going to read it all, but it's this conversation in the book of Malachi. The prophet of Malachi is kind of pushing back on the people of Israel, and it's this conversation between God and them, and God says, you've turned away from me. And they said, oh, how? How do we need to come back to you? And God said, well, you robbed me. And they said, rob you? How do we rob you? And God says, in tithes and offerings, and so you're under a curse. And then he offers them, bring your offerings into the storehouse, your tithes and offerings, and I will pour out a blessing on you that you can't even imagine. In other words, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. And you might, today, you might push back and say, yeah, Steve, but that's Old Testament law. We're under the new covenant of grace, not legalism. And I would say yes, but remember that the New Testament areas of grace in obedience, you think they are less than the Old Testament laws? The New Testament talks about grace and sacrifice. Do you think that sacrificial grace giving would be less than the Old Testament laws? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, just as you excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, love, see also that you excel in this grace of giving. So, grace, you're going to need it, I'm going to need it, to be able to sacrificially give to the Lord. We serve in these ways because it's normal Christian behavior, not just because we're gifted. Don't think of spiritual gifts like a supermarket. I want that one, I don't want that one, I want this one. No. Even those things that other people might be spiritually gifted in, we're still not let off the hook. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Right? Well, I want mercy in my life. I guess I should be merciful, but mercy is not one of my spiritual gifts, just to let you know, it's not. It's not. Now, some of you beautiful people, mercy is a good one. And I'm going to see you excel more in mercy than I will. We're not let off the hook. They're for the common good. And we can't separate them out as being so individualized. In other words, my guess is that a bunch of you have a blend of gifts. And so your sweet spot will be where your gifts, you're exercising, you're using those gifts in this perfect, like a coffee blend. And it's going to be a sweet aroma to the church. That's why you need to take the spiritual gift inventory. You need to talk with people and say, what do you see in my life? That's why you need to start practicing so you can see what fits you or not. But one way to find your spiritual gifts and understand them is that's going to be those things in which you serve with greater joy and greater fulfillment. You're going to see things happen. It's going to be fruitful, right? Well, when the parts of the body serve together, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. And so, greeters, thank you. I don't know what you are. I was going to say in my notes, you're the hands of the church, but greeters, don't shake people's hands right now. Don't shake hands, okay? We don't want that right now. there's a lot of stuff happening, right? And fortunately right now, there's no mandates here, but greeters, you're the smiles of the church, right? There are giftedness areas, the groundskeepers, the hands of the church, Sunday school teachers, thank you. You're kind of the mouths, the voices of the church. And keep praying, church. Next hour, we need to start Sunday school, right? From COVID hit, we haven't had 11 o'clock. We need to start 11 o'clock. We need some hands. We need some servants for that. Life group leaders, teachers, the mouths of the body, prayer warriors, compassion ministries that we're doing, maybe the hearts of the body, I don't know, tech booth, maybe the ears of the body. It goes on and on. The praise band, what would these guys be up here? They encourage us. They build us up in faith. It's kind of a heart thing too. By the way, those of you, we need more band members, right? We need another drummer or two, more guitar, bass player. We need people to step up. Now, that's by audition only. Can I let you in on that? You don't want me volunteering to play the drums, all right? But if you have a talent or a gift that can be developed even, you don't have to be perfect, but we need to know. Pastor Jeff needs to know. It goes on and on with all these areas. Tech, we need some more of those. In the end, it's about the fact that God has gifted you and your need, your God-given command, it's more than a need, to use, to open up and use the gifts that God has given you. And we're going to be the body of Christ, and when we use those gifts, we're going to continue doing what we're doing with Essential Pregnancy Services and Good News Jail and Prison Ministry and NCAP, Feeding the Community, and Bellevue Together, and City Serve September 19th, Sunday, September 19th, and that next week, City Serve, so life group leaders, life group members, begin thinking now, what project are you going to do somewhere in the local community or in the greater Omaha Metro Council Bluffs to serve the Lord in that once-a-year compassion ministry? But you've been gifted. You've been commanded to use them. And church, it's on you. He's done his part. It's up to you to use your gifts. Well, closing illustration, Randy Frazee wrote a book, a really good book about the connecting church, the connecting church. And in that book, he tells a story about his son. And Randy's son was born without a left arm, without a left arm. And he tells a story about his boy being in a children's Sunday school class one day, and the teacher was trying to explain about the church and the body of Christ, and she said, it's like this, like here, remember this when you were a kid? Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. And she said, class, why don't you do that with me? Didn't even think about his little, right? Do that with me. So everybody together, here is the church, here, and she caught herself. And you know how you've done this before, where you said something, and she's going, oh, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? And before she could find a way to get out of that without embarrassing this poor boy that didn't have a left hand, his little friend, who he had grown up with since they were little tykes, said, put out his left hand and said, let's do it together. And they did. Here is the church, right? Here is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We're a family. We're the body of Christ. And God has gifted you, if you're a believer, to use that, not for your good or mine, but the good of all of us together. So it's up to you. Find a way. We'll help you, of course. Find a way to serve. Roll up your sleeves and jump in. And when you do, you're going to fulfill your purpose. You're going to fulfill your destiny for right now, for this point of time, in this location. You're going to be a part of the body. All of us working together. Let's pray for each other. Lord, we ask that you would bring about your encouragement for us today and your conviction for us today. Lord, for starters, if someone cannot say that they have truly put all their hope and trust in Jesus Christ, that today would be that day that they would say yes. They're not going to be gifted until they are saved. They're not going to have the indwelling Holy Spirit until they repent and turn to Jesus and invite Him in. And so, God, first and foremost, may that happen in somebody's life today, online, streaming with us here physically. And God, for those who have trusted in Christ, and they know that your Spirit is indwelling them, that means they've got a gift. May they open it up. May they be grateful. May they depend upon your grace to start finding out about it and help us help them serve you through your church, the body of Christ. So that's my prayer today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.